We'd like to dedicate this shiur to the Refuah Shleima of Chaya Etta Sara Bas Dvora. The title of the shiur is Yom Kippur, the quest for spirituality. Who's in the driver's seat, the body or the soul? I heard a few days ago from Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuerschlitz, there's a Rav in Muncie. He said over a beautiful shot, which will serve as a hakdama to our shir. He said it over in the name of Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. In the Avodah on Yom Kippur, we recite what the Kohen Gadol did when he did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the things that he did is he took some blood of the sacrifice, the korban, and he made an underhand pitch upwards in front of the paroches, and then he threw seven times some dam going down, like making like sort of a line down, one lower than the other. So, and you'll, when we say the words, you'll remember this from the Avodah. We go, Achas, Achas v'Achas, Achas u'shtayim, Achas v'sholosh, Achas v'reva, Achas v'chamishi, shishi, shvi. It's always Achas. So what it means is, Achas, it speaks about the one that goes up, and then there were seven that went down. So you refer to the seven that go down, but you're always referring to the achas, the one that went up. So the question is why? We should say that the Kohen Gadol, when he did this, he used to say achas up, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down. Why do we keep always mentioning achas, achas ve'achas, achas u'shtayim, achas u'sholosh? That's the question. So Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch answers that really we have to understand the whole yontiv of Yom Kippur. And it is a tremendous yontiv, and that's why there's a mitzvah, Erev Yontiv, for us to eat. We have a mitzvah, it's the only time everyone wants to lose weight, but this is one day of the year where you have a mitzvah. There, some say you should even suck a candy, that every second of the day you should be busy with eating, to prepare yourself for the fast, various reasons that are given. But one of the reasons that are given is that it's such a great Yom Tov to be free, to be clean from our Averis, that really we should feast on Yom Kippur. And we go into Yom Kippur dirty with our chatoim, with our sins, and we come out clean. So that the feeling should promote a sudas mitzvah. But of course on Yom Kippur we can't do it. So Erev Yom Kippur we are feasting the suda that we really should feast on Yom Kippur itself. So the question is, what kind of yontiv is Yom Kippur when we separate ourselves from everything? On Yom Kippur itself, we're not allowed to eat, we're not allowed to drink, we can't wash ourselves, we can't smear ourselves with anything. We separate ourselves from this world. And we feel very holy when we do it. But as Rabbi Feuer said, we say in davening, Shalo Yasani Goy, Shalo Yasani Eved, we should also make a bracha, Shalo Yasani Malach. We're trying to act like angels, but we're not angels. Through our bechira, through our choice between evil and good, between tov and ra, we can rise much higher than an angel. An angel is a robot; is programmed to do good. So, what are we trying to accomplish on Yom Kippur by trying to act like an angel, separating ourselves totally from this world? That's not what Judaism is all about. Judaism is living in this world, but sanctifying this world, being mekadesh this world. So what's the message that Yom Kippur is giving us? So Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch answers, of course, the goal is that the body should be sanctified by the neshama, by the soul. Yom Kippur is the method how you do that. How do you? That's not the goal. The goal of Judaism, the goal of Yiddishkeit, is not to live Yom Kippur a whole year round, to separate ourselves. Then we would be malach, we would be angels a whole year round. We have to be human beings. We have to be holy human beings. But the way, the vehicle, the way you get to that destination of being a holy human being is that once a year, you totally separate yourself as much as possible from this world, from the Gashmi as the physical nature of this world, and therefore, Moitzoy Yom Kippur, when you start building your sukkah, so then you take that feeling and you sanctify your body, you make your body holy. Then you become a holy human being. So that's why Reb Sanz Volher says that's the message of Achas, Achas Ushayim. First, the Kohen Gadol takes the dam, the blood, and he throws it upwards. That is symbolizing our quest for spirituality. We want to become high, but we have to do it by living on this world. We're not angels. We're human beings. So then we know there's seven heavens. So you come down. After you go up, you come down one heaven, another heaven, another heaven, until you're through the seven heavens and you land back here on earth. So as you're going down, as you're becoming more and more physical to this earth coming down, you're always remembering Achas. Achas is Shamayim. Achas is spirituality. Achas is heavenly. As you go down, Achas down, V'achas, but don't forget where you're coming from. You're coming from up. Achas v'shtayim. You're going down now a second level, but don't forget the achas above. A beautiful pshat of Sanz Volher. So I think this is a very fitting hakdama to the subject that we want to discuss, the guf and the neshama, the body and the soul. And the title was, who's in the driver's seat, the body and the soul, or the soul? Now, what I meant with this title was something that I heard from the Novi Minsker Rebbe Shliti. He spoke last week in Muncie, first day of Slichas, and he said over a mushal that he said in his yeshiva. We have a person's driving a car, and he has a passenger. So the person who's driving the car is in control of the car. Chas v'shalom, he doesn't drive carefully, he can get into an accident. He's the one who's controlling the safety of the car. He's controlling the destination of where the car is heading towards. The person in the driver's seat is coming along for the ride. If you want to put our mission in this world in a nutshell, it is who's in the driver's seat. Is the neshama in the driver's seat and the guf, the physical part of a person, is coming along for the ride? So then, where will a person always go? He'll go to where the neshama wants. He'll go to a shul, he'll go to a beis medrash, he'll go to a yeshiva, he'll go to hear a speech from someone on Divrei Torah. He'll go to spiritual things. And the guf, the physical part of the person, will come along for the ride. Or is it the opposite? That the person who's in the one who's in the driver's seat is the guf. And the neshama is in the passenger seat. The neshama is coming along for the ride. And unfortunately, the guf may want to go to places where the neshama really doesn't want to go. But if the guf's driving the car, then the neshama has no choice. The neshama has to come along for the ride where the guf is taking it. What the Novi Minsker spoke about was, the title was V'halachta Bidrachav. We have to go in the ways of Hashem. What I'd like to mention in this year is the idea of going on a derech. We're going to see there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Vav, pasuk Hey, which says, Hisyatsev al derech loitayv. A person sometimes, unfortunately, puts himself on a path that is no good, that it leads to evil, to ra. Our job is to go on the good path. What is the good path? The good path is the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the pasuk says, V'halachta bidrachav. I forgot to mention a Ramah that the Novi Minsker Rebbe quoted. The Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, we say in the Brach of Asher Yotzar, we say, Mafli lasais. Hashem did a wonder. What's the wonder that Hashem did? So the Ramah says, Ramosha Israel says, that we have, each of us has a guf, and we have a neshama. And they're diametrically opposed one with the other. As we said, each one wants to go to a different road, a different derech, a different highway. The pella, the wonder, mafli, comes from the word pella, wonder, that Hashem took a guf and a neshama that are so opposite of each other, and he fused it together. He made a fusion. They both, the guf and the neshama, are together. They're so opposite one from the other, and yet Hashem made a pella, a wonder, that he fused them together. And the question is, where exactly, in which direction are we going? Now, what I wanted to suggest is that it's not just, is the guf in charge or the neshama is in charge, but even when a person does mitzvahs, so you think, okay, he's doing mitzvahs, he's learning Torah, he's davening, he's doing everything he's supposed to do, he's already in the neshama, he's on that road, on the good road. But even there, in every mitzvah that a person does, there's also a guf and a neshama. There is for example, we're going to speak about davening. A person can shuckle away in davening. He can shake back and forth, and he can throw his hands up in the air, and he looks like, wow, he's in ecstasy. He's totally devoted in Hashem. And meanwhile, in his mind, he's thinking about a business deal. He's thinking about the stock exchange, how many stocks got lost. So his guf, the davening, we say, if a person's mispalel b'li kavana, if you daven without thought, it's kiguf b'li neshama. That's also like a physical thing which has no spirituality. So the Novominsky Rebbe was speaking about total guf versus total neshama. But even if you're in neshama, you're doing mitzvahs, you're in kedusha, that also can be subdivided. There's the guf of a mitzvah, and there's the neshama of a mitzvah. Somebody might come to shul with an extra box that is made out of pure gold, and it's worth $10,000. And he's going around, he wants everybody to see his beautiful diamond-studded esrog box. So there, he's getting carried away. Yes, you have to honor the mitzvah and beautify the mitzvah, but the main thing is the pnimius. The main thing is the ruchnis, the spirituality of what a person should learn, what the esrog represents, what the lulav represents. What am I doing? I could shake the lulav till all the leaves will fall off, but I'm missing the whole essence, the inner kedusha of the mitzvah. So in a mitzvah itself, we have to watch out that we don't get carried away with the physical part of the mitzvah, but we concentrate on the pnimius, the inner kedusha of the mitzvah. So I reminded myself that the Kutzker Rebbe said such an idea. The pasuk says by Har Sinai, V'chol ha'om royim es ha'koylois. The people saw something we can't do, an unusual thing. It was a ness. We can hear thunder. They were able to see thunder. It says, royois, they saw, es hakolos, the thunder of Har Sinai. Ves alapidim, they saw the flames when Hashem gave the Torah. Ves koila shayfer, they heard the voice of the shayfer. Ves ahor oshan, and the whole smoke that was around the mountain. It was a very awesome, terrifying moment. So what does the pasuk say? Vayara om vayanu. The people saw this and they were trembling. They were shaking from this awesome experience that they were going through. Vayamdu me'rochayk. They stood far away. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, Vayanu. They were shuckling. They were shaking back and forth. But Vayamdu me'rochayk. Where were they standing? They weren't standing close to Hashem. Even though it was such an awesome experience, deep down inside of them, they were still far away. They hadn't gotten close to Hashem in their inner essence of their being. So just because a person is shuckling away, we hope, the Chinuch says the concept of hachitzonius moreris alapnimi. The outside, if I shake away, and hopefully it'll have a bearing on our inner essence. But lav dafka doesn't necessarily mean. You could be vayonu, you could be shaking, and vayam du merocha, like you're still far away. Now, the OU sent out to all shuls connected with the OU a very beautiful article from Rabbi Dr. Avram Tursky about the importance of not talking during davening. And it was an excellent article. Personally, I was moved by a different article that the OU... I was moved more. I was moved by Rabbi Tursky's also. But this article, I think, it gives us the inner struggle that a person has about davening. Davening is a thing where you could... I once watched a person daven. You know, his mouth is just like moving. I don't know where this person was, but I just saw his mouth moving. But it didn't look to me like the person had any kavana whatsoever. So let me read you a part because I think it really hits home. It's the article. It was printed in the summer of 1998. It was written in the Jewish Action. And it was written by Rabbi Shlomo Danziger, who was a Magid Shir in Breuer's Yeshiva, Samsafal Hirsch, for many years. And he was a Rav, Beis Medrash Chorev in Riverdale, New York. And now he retired. He's learning all day in Lakewood, New Jersey. So he writes the following. One of the issues addressed at the Orthodox Union, the title is Observance and Spirituality. Observance meaning keeping the mitzvahs and spirituality. One of the issues addressed at the Orthodox Union Centennial Forum, Orthodoxy at a Crossroads, held last November, was the dearth of spirituality in our communities. We don't have ruchnius, we don't have spirituality. We read in periodicals, including those of the Union, of the universally acknowledged problem of talking during tefillah. In my view, the two phenomena are interrelated. Not having spirituality and talking during davening, one thing is connected with the other. Observance of the mitzvahs is not synonymous with spirituality. It's called, Yeshaya HaNava, he calls it mitzvahs anashim melumada, which means we do things, mitzvahs, out of habit. We're robots when we do it. So just because I keep a mitzvah doesn't mean I have ruchnius, I have spirituality. We meet people daily who are scrupulously observant, but not necessarily spiritual, at least not according to my definition. To me, spirituality is defined as a state of mind in which we experience a sense of relating to Hashem as our master, a sense of being in His presence, a sense of living in His house. To the spiritual Jew, each mitzvah, each tefillah, each hour spent in learning Torah fosters spirituality in the sense just defined. It is His commandment, it's His mitzvah, positive or negative, that we are performing or observing. His Torah that we are learning, Him who we are addressing in our prayers. The mitzvahs are no longer religious observances. They become religious experiences. This is Jewish spirituality. The sense of being in His presence is not an idea of pietistic extremism. In other words, it's not something that's for Hasidim, very frum people. The idea is presented by Ramah in the very first paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, a person is supposed to have Hashem always in front of him, a whole day long. Everything that you do, why am I doing it? I'm doing it for Hashem. And therefore, if it's something I shouldn't be doing, this is not what Hashem wants me to do. I don't do it. What Hashem wants me to do, I do. However, we ought to heed Reb Samson Fol Hirsch's caution that our sense of divine nearness should be a sober sense, experienced in the earthly sphere to which He has appointed us, and in relation to our earthly management of life. Otherwise, it can indeed become a form of extremism. So in other words, you have to do it as we spoke about before. We're not malachim. We are human beings. We have to become holy human beings. We can't do things in an extreme way. We are not likely to solve the problem of talking during tefillah by applying external remedies. We have to address the underlying cause of this phenomenon. It is the lack of spirituality. The reason people talk during davening is because they're davening out of rote, out of a habit, like a robot, without any kavana. For too many, tefillah is an external mitzvah act, and he puts in parentheses, which can be boring, rather than an inner experience, which he puts in parentheses, which is absorbing. Look around you when Aleinu is being said, even in the most committed environment. Observe the faces, the posture, the often meaningless, restless motion, the tone of voice, the rapidity of utterance. I think you'll notice if you go to shul, as you get closer to the end, the chazan gets quicker and quicker. Some of these things are not in the article. I'm adding ad lib on my own. Accompanied, back to the article, accompanied by the folding of talesim, you will notice one underlying mood, casualness. Even fervid declamation is not the tefillah of spirituality. What spiritual tefillah is inner, meditative supplication. I've noticed, I've observed Rabbi Danziger davening, and if you watch him daven, you see he practices exactly what he writes in this article. It's expressed in quiet utterance, not a cacophony of competing chazanim. And as it means, not that everybody is screaming at the top of their lungs. Kavana, what does the word kavana mean? Kavana means lechavein, means directing. Directing one's words to Hashem, to whom we are speaking conversationally. We're talking to Hashem, not in a formalized sing-song chant. The more real the sense of actually conversing with Hashem, the more real the sense of actually standing before Him in prayer, the greater the kavana. When you think about it, I mean, people enjoy it. The chazanim have songs that they put kedusha to, keila doin. Very nice. The whole tzibur sings together. It's beautiful. But Rabbi Danziger is pointing out correctly that that's not what we mean with kavana in tefillah. Kavana in tefillah is quiet. You're focusing your whole neshama in relating to Hashem. It's a whole different idea of what davening is. This often results in a sublime emotion, but it is an inner spiritual emotion, not emotional frenzy. In any case, people who are experiencing this kind of spirituality will not likely interrupt their experience with idle chatter. I'm just reminded, as I'm saying this, the Chafetz Chaim used to talk to Hashem. Something good happened to him that day. He would say, Hashem, thank you. He's talking to Hashem as he goes through the day. The idea of tefillah is that we're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a relationship. We talk to Him. We are allowed to talk in English even, in Shema Koleinu, when we ask for our needs. If you can't do it in Lashon Kodesh, you can do it in English. At that point in the davening, you're asking your request from Hashem. You talk to Him.
Where did you say that exactly?
Right before you say Kikael, right before Kikael, in there you could ask whatever you want. How do we achieve the spirituality? It is not easy. And even when achieved, may not be long sustained. In a davening, maybe once a davening, you get this. But when experienced even once, we are drawn to it again and again. And say along with the psalmist, with David HaMelech and Tillim, but as for me, it is the nearness of Hashem that to me is good. Vani kirvas elokim li toif. David HaMelech says, what am I looking for in life? I'm looking to get close to Hashem. And then he concludes, I'm leaving out one paragraph here. Let us try to turn our Torah, our mitzvahs, and our tefillahs from mere observances into spiritual experiences. And that's the name of the article, Observance and Spirituality. We all observe, but how many of us are spiritual? So Rabbi Danziger beautifully explains tefillah Bein Adam L'Makom, which are mitzvahs that are done between a man and a Shem. Rabbi Perlau Shlita, in his drasha in Munsi, he spoke about mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. But it was the same idea, mitzvahs between man and man. And he said the following. We know that Chazal say, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Derech Eretz comes before Torah, which translated means to be a mensch, to be civil, to be moral, to have manners. That comes before the Torah. So Rabbi Perla said that Derech Eretz we share with Goyim as well. Goyim can be very moral, very... unfortunately, there are often many nations in the world, as we know, are not. But they're the opposite of having Derech Eretz. But it's possible a Goy could have Derech Eretz. But a Jew is supposed to keep the same mitzvahs, but on a different level. The Halachta Bidrachav. We do the same mitzvahs, but we do it for a different reason. We do it because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in this world. What is he referring to? And again, it's the same idea as Rabbi Danziger. We're doing it because it's his mitzvah. It's not because we're doing it because it's the correct thing to be a mensch, to be polite, to have manners. That's why the Goyim do it. We do it because v'alachta b'drachav. We go in the ways of Hashem. He's referring to Gemara in Masechta Sota Daf Yudalid. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Achrei Hashem l'kechem teleichu. You should walk after Hashem. The Gemara asks, v'chi efshaloi l'adam l'halach achar ashkina? Can a person walk right behind Hashem? V'aloi kvar nemar, it says, ki Hashem l'kecha eish oichlohu. He's a fire. If we would go right behind Hashem, if we can't see Hashem, but if somehow we could get connected to the Shechina, it would burn us up. It means something else. Ela l'halach achar midoisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to follow the ways of Hashem. Mahu malbish arumim, and the Gemara brings a pasuk by Adam Chava, afata halbish arum. Hashem gives clothing to people who need clothing. You should give clothing. Hakadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim by Avram. We see he was mevaker chol as someone who was sick. Afata biker cholim. You do the same thing. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nicham aveilim. He brings a pasuk by Avram that Hashem was menachem avil. Afata nacham aveilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kover meisim, afata kover meisim. You have to go in the ways of Hashem. And the Rambam in Hilchas Deis, Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, says the same thing. Umutzuvin anu laleches bedrachim o'elu abenim. The Rambam calls it, the famous Rambam says, a person has to always go in the middle path. The derech hamemutza, not to the extreme. It's the golden path is in the middle. In the middle. These are the good and straight ways. Go in the ways of Hashem. And this is what the Chazal learned that this mitzvah means. God is merciful, you be merciful. Hashem has mercy on people, you have mercy. Mahu nikra kodesh, he's considered holy, he's called holy, afatoye kodesh. You should be holy. Val derech zukora nevim lakel, b'chol oisna kenuyin, erech apayim, rav chesed, tzadik, v'yosher, tomim, giber, v'chozik, yoytzabed, lohidia, shehen drachim, toivim, v'yishorim, v'chayavodim, lohanag, atzim, behen, uli damois, elab, k'vikoyach. We have to compare ourselves to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And then the Rambam says, Ulefi Shashem Isaela Nikrabana Yitzer Vehema Decha Benanish Anachayov Alas. But since Hashem is called by all these titles, which are the middle path which a person should go in, Nikras Derech Zu Derech Hashem. This is the Derech Hashem. This is the way of Hashem. And that's what Avram Avinu taught his children. As the Pasuk says, Rabbi Perlau quoted this Pasuk, Ki Yedativ, I love Avram, says Hashem. Why do I love Avram? Because I be Laman Ashe Yitzave as Bonav as Beisoy Achrav Vishamru Derech Hashem. Lasei Stoka Mishpat. You know what Avram teaches his children and grandchildren? To keep this Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem, to do what? Righteousness and charity. Stoka Mishpat. Why do the Goyim, if they're a good Goy, why do they do it? They do it because it's Derech Eretz. So that's why they do it. We have a higher reason that we do it. We do it because it's Derech Hashem. That's what Avram Avinu, he taught his children and grandchildren. You know why you should do tzedakah and mishpat, justice and kindness? Because that's the Derech Hashem. That's his mitzvah. It's more spiritual. If we're doing it because it's not just the right thing to do, the correct thing, because this is Hashem's mitzvah. That's part of our relationship with Hashem. We want to compare ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, v'alachta b'drachav. You should go in the way of Hashem. Said Rabbi Perlow, if a person lends somebody else money, $100, you get three mitzvahs. One, in Kesef Talvin, is a mitzvah to lend money. Two, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. If you needed the money, you'd want somebody to lend you. You lend that person. And three, v'alachta b'drachav, because that's what Hashem. Hashem does kindness. You are copying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, when Hashem helps an Ani, what does he do? The Gemara has a question. Does he raise the Ani up to Hashem, or does Hashem lower himself down to the Ani? So what might be better for the Ani? It would be very nice that Hashem should raise the Ani up to Hashem. The Gemara concludes, no, Hashem lowers himself down to the Ani. And Rabbi Perlow said, perhaps there's a lesson here. The lesson is that we have to commensurate, we have to empathize with people who are unfortunately going through tsaros. We have to lower ourselves down and feel their pain. And that's copying, that's v'alachta b'drachav, that's going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he brought a beautiful Rambam. The Rambam concerning Purim. We notice a Indian of having simcha on Purim. What's the big simcha, the best simcha that you can have at Purim? Some people will tell you to get shikur. That's not what the Rambam says. Mutiv lo adam laharbois b'matanis avyoinim. It's better for a person to give charity to the poor. There's a mitzvah to give matanis avyoinim on Purim. More than having a big suda, ubishloach manasareiv, or giving presents to fellow people like yourself, not the poor. There's a mitzvah mishloach manas, but which mitzvah is the greatest on Purim? The greatest one is giving to the poor. Why? She'ein sham simcha gedolah mefora. There is no greater simcha in a person's life. Not to get shikur. That's not the big simcha on Purim. You know what the biggest simcha that a person can have? When they feel their life meaningful? Elo l'sameach leiv aniyim v'yisoyimim v'almanis v'geirim. All the, a widow and an orphan and a ger and a poor person. To make them happy on Purim. That there is not, no greater joy that you can feel. Why? Now the Rambam adds. So we would say, well, you're doing tzedaka, you're doing matanas avyoinim, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. The Rambam adds, no. Besides that, shamesameach levam lolem o'elu, doime l'shchina. Because you are, when you do that act, you are comparing yourself to Hashem. Shenemar, it says about Hashem, L'hachiyos ruach shvalim. You know what Hashem does? He gives life to those who are low. U'lahachiyos lev nitkoim. And He gives life to the heart of those who are oppressed, to those who are suffering. That's what Hashem does. And if you give matanas levyanim on Purim, that's what you're doing. Doim elishchina, you're compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'halachta b'drachav, you're going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I heard from Rav David Margaretin, Rav in Muncie. He said over from, I think he said it's from the son of the, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbeim, the Mittel Rebbe, said this point, that many of us do tshuva on Yom Kippur, we put a band-aid on. We do on this particular, I heard this once from Rav Feivel Cohen, We could do tshuva on 10,000 different things we do wrong, but we can't. We're physically impossible. So the way to do it, we take one thing, two things that we know we could, if we really set our mind, we could change ourselves for the next year. On the other 9,998, we're an honest. We can't work on 10,000 things at one time. But every person should take one or two things that they know they could change and that they could see it through till next year. As the years go on, if we keep adding one or two, a few things every year, someone who feels that they could do five things and they could really do it, okay? So as time goes on, so we increase. In 10 years, we did it to a year. We did 20 things already that changed our lives. That's what we should do. But this Sefer says, the pasuk we mentioned before, Hisiyat Sev al derech loitayv, Valachta bedrachav, the good way is, as the Rambam concludes, the Rambam says a person who goes on a good way, Mevi toivu brachal atzma, he's going to get all good for himself. Shenemar, Laman, Hevi, Hashem, Avram, Esasher Dibrolav, I'm going to give Avram everything I promised him, because he's going on the good way. We shouldn't just look at the averis that we do. We should look at the derech. What derech are we on? Who's in the driver's seat? Is the guf in the driver's seat, or is the neshama in the driver's seat? When we do a mitzvah, what do we have? The kavana? Do we have the inner spirituality, or are we just busy with the outside things, which are important, but they're not the inner spirituality? So we have to take ourselves, we're at a fork in the road. Which derech are we going to go? And you know what the derech means? Prikas oil. When we do averis, what we're doing at that moment is, Hashem, I know Hashem wants me to do this, but, you know, I'm taking the yoke of Hashem off. That's going on a path that's not good. Then as a result, we're going to do all the bad things. If we're makabel on ourselves, oil malchus shemayim, if on Yom Kippur we accept, I'm an eved of Hashem, I have a yoke that I am bearing, then automatically all the things we do wrong, we're going to stop doing because we're on the right path. We're on the right. So the main avot on Yom Kippur is get off the wrong road that you're on. Get another driver. You have the guf in the driver's seat. Get the neshama. Go on the, then you'll go to where the neshama wants to go, on that road. And you'll be mekayim. The best road, of course, is v'alachta bedrachav. You'll go on that road, which are the things that Hashem himself does, and you'll copy that. Then, mitzvah Hashem, all of us will be inscribed. When Hashem sees that he's looking for that, he wants us just to get on the right road, to accept him as the melech, which we did on Rosh Hashanah, and now, you're the melech, I'm going to do what you want, everything else will fall into place. Our job is v'lachta b'drachav, get on the right road, and in mitzvah Hashem, Hashem will, in fact, as the Rambam says, he will give us everything that he promised Avram. If we make that commitment to get on the right road, we will, mitzvah Hashem, all be inscribed for a year of health and happiness and nachas from our children, and simchas for us, and shalom for us, and all of Kol Yisrael.